Welcome to Messy Business, the podcast that helps solo business owners think better, not just know more. I'm Libby Langley, and each week I uncover the messy truth behind the internet's favourite business advice, assumptions, and aspirations, helping you decide what's actually right for you and your business. Let's get started with this week's episode. Hello. I want to talk to you today about the messy truth about being your own boss. I mean, one of the most common reasons people give for starting a business is basically, I just want to be my own boss. I just want to work for myself. And certainly that was one of my primary reasons. It was, I don't want someone else to make these decisions. I think I can do a better job. I'm going to go off and do it myself. That was definitely why I started my own business. But it's one of those phrases that we almost accept without any question. You know, being your own boss is presented as the dream, right? You know, nobody telling you what to do, nobody checking what time you arrived this morning or got your ass out of bed, or nobody questioning any of your decisions, nobody approving your holiday requests, nothing like this, right? You can do whatever you like. The glorious promise of freedom, of independence, of total autonomy, total control. But is being your own boss actually the best thing about running a business? Or is it just one of those ideas that we've inherited and never really examined? So that's what I'm going to talk to you about today. And I'm going to go through kind of where it's come from a little bit. Where does being your own boss come through as the ideal? You know, what might appeal about it? But what's the truth about it? And then we can decide, you can decide if it's actually what you want to do, and you're doing it anyway, right? But there might be some tweaks and changes that you think, do you know what, actually, maybe this is what I want to do instead. So, okay. Oh, I mean, when people say they want to be their own boss, what do they actually mean? It's quite an interesting question, really, I think, because, you know, for most of modern history, work has involved somebody being in charge of somebody else, right? You know, you think of businesses that have been around for donkey's years, generations, factories and offices, corporations, they all have a certain hierarchy and management structure to them. You know, you probably start at the bottom and then work your way up, and everybody knows the concept of the corporate ladder. We all understand that. We all understand that there is a structure within most businesses, even very small businesses. There's somebody in charge, and there's people who, somebody in charge, then people who do the work. No, there's somebody in charge, and then there's, you know, the people who look after the people who do the work further down, and on it continues. And that certainly, it's interesting because it's just brought up a memory that I used to have a partner, boyfriend, whatever, years and years ago, and was a mechanic, I think, originally, something like that. Hands-on kind of person, and absolutely brilliant at that stuff. But by the time I met him, he'd worked his way up. And I remember him saying once that basically the only thing that changed was that he got to wear a you know, shirt and tie to work and not enjoy it as much because he was more senior there. He had to make more decisions, which was fine. But, you know, the stuff that he loved on the ground, he didn't really do so much anymore. I mean, you know, let's not talk about him because he's a really unpleasant character. But that's not the point. The point is that, you know, this moving up isn't necessarily what people enjoy. So it's twofold, really. The, you know, not having anyone else to ask questions or approve any of your decisions or any of that. And I think that people remember the bits that they don't like. You know, we've all had bosses that we absolutely couldn't stand and didn't respect and just were really unpleasant. You know, there'd be people who've micromanaged you and breathed over your shoulder all the time, or utter control freaks, who, particularly in smaller businesses or owner-managed businesses, where if you've worked for one of those, where you know, their decision is the only decision and has to be the decision, and people aren't allowed their own thoughts and feelings. And then there's the people who measure presenteeism instead of results, you know, who's first in, last out. Well, they're the good ones. They're the ones who get all the opportunities, not the ones who are actually really good and can do the job in half the time. And I think that that's a culture that perhaps is improving now more people work from home and there's hybrid working, but still is a little bit present in corporate and the public sector as well. You know, there's a lot of that. So the idea, I think quite naturally, the idea of escaping that has a huge appeal. And so what came along then was entrepreneurial culture. Now, I don't remember when I first experienced this. I would say I was in my 30s before the concept of working for yourself became an actual thing that ordinary people did. I mean, obviously people run their own companies, right? But yeah, just kind of working for yourself, maybe being a freelancer, but starting up a small business. Yeah, I would say I was probably, I don't know, mid-30s maybe actually before it was like, oh, didn't realise that you could do that. And that is a while ago, I'll grant you. But it's certainly for me, it's within the last 20 years. And I think that's quite interesting because when you look at the younger generation, then they'll just be brought up on people who are doing this kind of stuff, you know, the entrepreneurial culture. That'll just be a thing for them. They'll know people, probably personally, who make a living on YouTube or even OnlyFans, right? It's still entrepreneurial. And there'll be lots of people who know people like that. Whereas me, for my generation, I'm a tail end of Generation X, but me for my generation, and I think probably yours too, is that we kind of just didn't really, that wasn't a thing. You got a job. I mean, our parents, you know, they all had jobs, careers, professions that they largely stayed in for their most of their working life. And that just, it's different now. There are people, of course, there are people who do that. But I think it more and more, there are people who are making their own way in life. And so this entrepreneurial culture is like, you know, I want to be my own boss. Yeah, sure. All right, go for it. Is a fairly standard pub conversation these days. You know, there were books, there were seminars, there were business gurus. You know, I don't know when Tony Robbins came onto the scene, but that's quite a long time. It's probably 20 years, it must be coming up for kind of really big. And, you know, that influences people, right? We become aware of these things, certainly in the last 15 years. So, you know, be your own boss really became one of the biggest selling points of self-employment. And it was marketed as the antidote to employment, to having a job, right? You know, escape the commute, escape the office, escape the hierarchy, escape the boss. And somewhere along the way, being your own boss, it became shorthand for freedom itself, which is maybe where things start to get a little bit interesting here. Because people don't necessarily want to be their own boss, right? You might want absolute freedom and autonomy, but being your own boss is a different thing, yeah? What we often want is to stop having someone else's priorities imposed on us. That's it. It's like, leave me alone to do my job. I'm going to do my job well. I enjoy my job. You know, job for task or function, right? But they're not quite the same thing. It's one is a desire to have, and the other one is almost a legal function, right? So what is the appeal of being your own boss? I mean, the appeal is pretty obvious, really. But when people imagine being their own boss, what they imagine, what I imagined, and I'm, you know, 15 years ago when I did it, and I'm sure what you imagined was, you know, no micromanagement, no pointless meetings. Oh, my God. No meetings about, I came from the public sector, so we did actually have meetings to set agendas for meetings. Hilarious. No office politics, no performance reviews, no asking permission, no just bureaucracy and arbitrary rules, right? There's a lot of the thing that used to drive me the most insane. And when I work with clients that are slightly bigger, this obviously doesn't happen in one person solo businesses, but when I work with clients that are slightly bigger, it's just like, oh my God, oh my God. Nobody cares about this report that everybody is spending months writing. It's not the way to take dynamic and fluid action, you know. But so that's what people want to leave. And they imagine freedom. And that freedom is the freedom to decide, basically, you know, what work you do, who you work with, when you work, and how you work. That's really crucial, right? And there's a huge emotional appeal with that that I would never challenge whatsoever. And I completely agree. You know, I've said many, many times before on this podcast that still one of the first things was that gave me a real thrill of being my own boss was being able to go to the post office during the day. That just sounds so stupid. But it's one of those things that makes such a difference. It's like, you know, those jobs that, because they're places that you need are only often open 9 to 5, right, when you're at work. Being able to do something that used to be a Saturday job on a Tuesday is a real thrill. And it's, you know, it's such a silly example, right? But it is still one of the definitions of freedom and flexibility that, you know, is so small, but actually just makes such a difference. You know, putting the washing on is another one, and hanging it out during the day, things like that. It's the little things actually that I think make people's lives different. And there's a huge emotional appeal to that, right? And I think that being your own boss, it feels quite grown up. It feels quite capable and independent, doesn't it? And it does certainly feel like taking charge of your own destiny. And many of those benefits are absolutely real. You know, that I've been employed now since 2011, so 15 years. And there are definitely aspects of that freedom that I wouldn't swap. I would really, really struggle to be in an office 9 to 5 or to be logged on 9 to 5, because I don't think there is a day ever when I will do that. I might end up working those hours, but I'm doing different, you know, I might be doing some stuff with a client and then I'm doing some stuff on my own business. So it's never the same thing if I'm doing it, even if I'm doing it all day. But just clocking in and clocking out, I never want to do that ever again. So there's certainly some things of that freedom, aspects of that freedom that I wouldn't swap. But that is only part of the story. There's a real messy truth to working, to being your own boss. And the messy truth is that you don't stop having a boss. Da-da-da-da-da. What you do is you stop having one boss. So instead of having one boss who is your immediate line manager, you gain lots of different bosses. So you swap one for many. Things like clients, they end up becoming bosses to a certain extent. You know, your cash flow and business finances, they become a boss because you've got to prioritize them above all else. Deadlines that you might have set, they become a boss. You don't, you know, working for yourself, being your own boss, doesn't mean that you just waft about doing things when you feel like it, generally speaking. It means that you still have obligations, you still have service level agreements with people, you still have appointments and prep and things that you have to deliver on, places you have to be at certain times. Yes, to a certain extent, you get to choose those and you get to dictate those, but you're still beholden to them. So they are still, in a way, your boss, right? It's like HMRC. I mean, that's the boss of all of us, right? Because we've got to pay our taxes on time and corporation tax and all your personal tax, all of these things. It's a sort of boss, right? Whereas when you've got a job, somebody else sorts all that out, right? You just get taxed at source, comes out of your wage packet. So you have got new things that you need to worry about that you didn't. And I think one of the biggest ones, actually, about being your own boss and getting rid of having an employed boss and, all the other many bosses you take on, is a big one is your own expectations become a boss. You might be really tough on yourself. You might be really hard on yourself. You might be thinking, oh, they're doing better than me. Therefore, that becomes kind of like a guider to you. It becomes something that either drives you or destroys you or somewhere in between. And I think the expectations of like how much you're going to earn and against how much everybody else is going to earn and what your business model looks like compared to what everybody else's business model looks like. It's a real boss, right? And it's not the bitch boss, right? It's not the good kind of boss. And I think the internet becomes a bit of a boss as well. Social media becomes a bit of a boss because there's lots of people on there telling you what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And there's a real danger that you stop following your own path and you stop remembering why you wanted to do this in the first place. And you stop remembering that you have complete autonomy so you can do what the blimmin' heck you like in your business. You can make all these rules. And you start by having all these bosses that actually you're not controlling. You're allowing to control you and you're becoming very, very reactive in the way that you work. And too many pivots and, not planning to pay your tax, not putting a bit aside each month, which would be control, right? If you bring in £1,000 and you put £200 into a savings account for tax, that's planning ahead. That's really sensible. That's you being the boss. But if you don't do that, and then it's like, oh, didn't know I was going to have to pay any tax. It's like that's HMRC being the boss. That's your finances being the boss. And then you've got to make the call to HMRC to say, oh, I haven't got the money. Can I do a payment plan? And all that, which is fine and it works out, but it puts you behind every year. And that's letting other things be the boss. So when I say, you're replacing one boss for lots of bosses, that's a really good example of that many, many, many of us have done at some point in our own self-employment. And I think that in some ways, self-employment can create more pressure, not less. It can be really, really stressful having to do all those things. Having to become an expert in all sorts of things that you weren't an expert in before. You were just an expert in doing the do, right? But now you're an expert in, absolutely every single facet of a business possible. And I think where the difficulty with that is that every decision sits with you. Nobody tells you what to do. And there is some genuine freedom in turning up to work, doing an excellent job or doing an okay job and getting paid. Whatever. Whereas in your own business, if you have an okay day, fine. If you have an okay week, if you have an okay month, okay year, it has a real knock-on effect, you see. So, and obviously, I mean, if you were just okay in a job, you might end up not being in that job forever. But actually, quite a lot of people are just okay in their jobs, and that's perfectly fine. But you've got to be okay plus in your own business because you've got so many hats to wear, because you've got so many things to manage. And I think on paper, nobody telling you what to do sounds absolutely brilliant until you're staring at a blank page, until you've got a difficult decision ahead of you or a quiet month and just wishing somebody would tell you what to do. I mean, I think we've all wished that at some point in our business lives. I think we've all hankered after the certainty of getting a monthly paycheck that we're not prepared to compromise. We don't want to do, right? Because we remember what that was like. But there is something quite glorious about what that. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like. I've not had it for 15 years, but part of me is like, oh, that must be amazing. But equally, I'm not prepared to trade it. So, there's a difference between freedom and responsibility there, I think. And that's one of the things that perhaps isn't flagged when I want to be my own boss is shouted from the rooftops. many people will start looking for, will start a business looking for freedom and accidentally just build themselves a job that's more demanding than the one they left. And I know that's what I did to start with. Absolutely. I started my business and quickly built it to it had staff and a team and then changed it, gave all that up after, you know, what, 5 years in, because I'd built myself a managerial position that I didn't want. I loved my team and I loved some of the work that we did, but also some of the other work I didn't like and was boring, didn't want to do it. And I didn't like the pressure of having to turn over thousands and thousands each month just to pay everybody else and pay for the office. It's just, it wasn't what I wanted to do. And that's kind of the danger of it, right? Is that you end up building more of a job than you had before. And I also think that some people, they become far worse bosses to themselves than any manager actually was. You know, if you look at some of the ways that you've treated yourself or things that you've told yourself or berated yourself for, or blooming heck, if you work out your hourly rate actually versus a job hourly rate, you're earning less than minimum wage. And so many people that's true for, because perhaps you can only get paid when you deliver your service, which is fine. But there's all the other stuff too that we've already talked about that you have to manage, right? You know, you work longer hours, you take fewer holidays, you expect more from yourself, and you put yourself under this absolutely constant pressure. You know, I think that the bigger truth really is that the goal isn't being your own boss. The goal is to create a working life that you actually enjoy. And those aren't automatically the same thing. You can be your own boss and still feel trapped. You can be your own boss and still dread Monday morning. You can be your own boss and still build a business that doesn't suit you. And I've seen it hundreds of times in my working life as a business consultant, hundreds of times. So instead of asking yourself, do I want to be my own boss? How about asking a better question of yourself, which is, what am I actually looking for here? Do you want more autonomy? Do you want more flexibility? Do you want more meaning in what you're doing? Do you want more creativity or more control or more income or more time? Right? Maybe all of them, but you can't really focus on all of them, right? There's got to be a driving force as to what you actually want, because they're all different things, right? And once you understand what you're really trying to achieve when you say, I want to be my own boss, what specifically is it that you want? You can then design the business around that rather than kind of just chasing a slogan. And this isn't about if you're just going to start up a business, right? This is about you maybe 15 years in like I am, but, what's not right? Yes, I work for myself, but what is keeping me awake at night? What is just, what the hell have I done here? How did I end up here, right? And you might recognize those things. I've talked about this in previous episodes about changes I've made in the last 6 months, you know, the first 6 months of 2026. And, you know, I think really that's been a massive thing for me. And I hope that it's something that you think about there, wherever, if you're thinking about starting up or wherever you are, however long you've been in business. And kind of, you know, you don't change that slogan. If you really kind of stop thinking about the phrase, be your own boss, because I don't think it's right, okay? It's not wrong, but it's not right. It's incomplete. That's what the challenge with it is. So the better goal, absolutely, might be to become the architect of your own working life, to be in control of the decisions that you make and to really make the ones that are right for you. And that's absolutely where real freedom lives. It's very, very different from simply swapping one boss for another. So I hope that this has given you, I know it will have given you, a lot of food for thought about what being your own boss actually means and the messy truth about being your own boss and what it means for you. So I look forward to your messages, as I always get messages from you, as to, yeah, what you think, what you're going to change, what you're going to do. And now we've uncovered the messy truth about being your own boss. So go out there and decide what it means to you and make sure it does mean something to you and it is what you want to do. All right. Lots of love. I'll see you on the next episode of Messy Business. Bye. If this episode of Messy Business made you think differently, why not share it with someone who might need to hear it too? And if you're enjoying the show, make sure you're following wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss future episodes. Until next time, remember, change how you work, not who you are.